الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. இந்த சாயத்த கரீமா அல்லாஹ் துபாருக்கு தாலா சேஸ், வாட் த ரசூல் நபி முஹம்மத் ஸல்லல்லாஹு அலைஹி வஸல்லம் இஸ் கிவன் யூ, தென் ஹோல்ட் ஆன் டு தட். அண்ட் இன் த ஹதீஸ் இட் கம்ஸ் தட் ஹோல்ட் வஅக்து அலைஹா பின் நவாஜிஸ், வித் யுவர் பேக் டீத் லைக் வெரி ஃபர்ம்லி ஹோல்ட் ஆன் டு இட். சையிதுனா உமர் ரலியல்லாஹு தஆலா அன்ஹு எக்ஸ்பிளைன் திஸ் வென் ஆன் த கான்க்வெஸ்ட் ஆஃப் பைத்துல் முகத்தஸ், தட் ஹி செட் தட் வி வர் எ நேஷன், வி வர் த லோவஸ்ட், மோஸ்ட் டிகிரேடட். Allah gave us honor and respect in Islam. That is the commandments of Allah, the sunnah, the mubarak tariqah and way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we will seek our honor in any other way, Allah will once more degrade us. Whether we look for it in our degrees, our investments, our wealth, our bank balances, or whatever else, then Allah will degrade us. Our way is in the way of Islam, the way of the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Huzaifah ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu declared this so clearly, and he said that أَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِ لِهَاُولَٰئِ الْحُمَقَى. Must I give up the Sunnah of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for these stupid idiots? That is, Allah give us that reality, that we follow have that love of Sunnah and realize that great honor and position. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has forbidden you from doing, stay away from that. And completely stay away. Stay far away from everything which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam has forbidden us. So the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are very, very great, great treasure. It's a great sign of Islam. And really that Islam is only accepted by Allah Ta'ala, which is according to the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we have any other type of Islam, a modern type of Islam, a watered down type of Islam, Islam that satisfies the non-Muslims, and it's not according to that of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. It will be rejected by Allah Ta'ala. Only that way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the true people who followed it to the minutest detail were the great Sahaba ikiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, the munafiqeen, the non-believers, they should say أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. Must we believe like na'uzu billah, they should say these stupid people, sufaha, the sahaba. Allah Ta'ala replies and says, Ala innahum humus sufaha. Ala, listen, open your ears and hu, Ala innahum, they are the one, humus sufaha, they are the stupid people. Anyone who goes against the sunnat and the ways of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they are the stupid people. And what is it at the end of Al Islam? Fain Aman. Fain Amanu bi mithli ma amantum bihi faqadih tadaw. That if they believe as the Sahaba have believed, then they have got Hidayat and they are on the right path. And if we want to make our Iman any other type of Islam, some interfaith, and mix it with other religions, and that all religions are on par, na'uzu billah, na'uzu billah. There is only one deen, inna deena indallahi al-islam. It's only Islam that is the accepted way by Allah Ta'ala. So sunnahs are very, very great. And just to understand, there are so many beautiful examples that have been given. One example, it's not very long ago, and some of us might still remember that time, when we should buy rice or lentils, etc., then the ladies had to sit for hours cleaning that rice. There were little twigs, there were little stones with it, and they should have to sit for hours cleaning it. Now, it comes completely clean. You don't have to sit and clean it. And at those days, when there were weddings, and they used to cook for so many people. A week, 2 weeks used to be set aside just for cleaning the rice. All the women should come together at night, and for hours they should sit cleaning that rice for the wedding. Now it all comes ready, clean. Anyway, at that time, when we bought rice at whatever price, 20 rand a kilo today, 25 rand, whatever the price might be, we paid that price for those stones also. We paid that price for the heavy stones and for the light twigs that were mixed also. We paid the same price of rice for the stone and the twigs also. And for what reason? Because if they were with the rice. And we, after buying it, we looked after it. When we bought it, we put it in the car, we made sure we secure it properly. We brought it home, we secured it also. Somebody must not steal it, some animals or something must not eat it or anything. We looked after it. We looked after the rice, we looked after the stones also. And we looked after the twigs also. But when that rice was clean and they were separated from the rice, the stones were separated from the rice, the twigs, etc., were separated from the rice. Now those twigs and stones, nobody looked after it. And nobody will pay for it the price of rice now. Now it's thrown outside. And dogs urinate on it, nobody worries about it also. Now it has got no value. As it had value as long as it was in the company of the rice. Just like that, as long as we are in the company of the sunnahs, we have got value by Allah Ta'ala. And yeah, the housewives worked and separated. Nobody separated. We ourselves separated ourselves from the sunnah. Our value is as long as we are attached to the sunnah. We will be looked after as Allah will look after the sunnah. He will look after us also. But when we separated ourselves, we are now like the stones and twigs that are thrown outside. Now the eaters of swine and the drinkers of wine, they mutilate us. How they treat our children, our women folk, the old folk. What terrible things are they do in the world, all because we separated ourselves from sunnah. Now we haven't got that protection from Allah Ta'ala. So we can understand the great value of sunnah. All we have to do is we attach ourselves again with the sunnah and Allah will protect us. If we are in connection with the sunnah, our waking up is according to sunnah. Our sleeping is according to sunnah. Our dressing is according to sunnah. Everything is according to sunnah. We will have value. We will have protection by Allah Ta'ala. Allah will give us great value. But when we today, how many of us got sunnah? When we eat, there is no bismillah also. While eating, hardly any alhamdulillah. After eating, there is no alhamdulillah, no dua also. We go to bed, think for ourselves. How many of us read the dua? When we get up in the morning, how many of us stretch our hands, yawn, and make a noise like an animal when we get up? How many of us read the sunnah dua? How many of us rub our eyes according to sunnah? So the sunnahs have to be in our lives. Many of us think we got sunnahs, but we are far from sunnahs also. Allah give us tawfiq to bring the sunnahs into our lives. And our shaykh, jazahumullah khair, all these poems, etc. And how many? One beautiful poem of our shaykh, Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke hai, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannat ke raaste. The footsteps, following in the footsteps, the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the road to Jannat. Allah se milate hai, Jalla jalaluhu. A person will be connected with Allah, which we want. We want to be connected with Allah. Sunnat ke raaste. Following the sunnat, we will get connected to Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala as well. So Allah give us to understand consciously that the sunnat come into our lives. And for that to come into our lives, one very easy way is to read Durood Sharif. The more we will read Durood, by the barakat of Durood, Allah will bring sunnahs into our lives. By the barakat of sunnahs, the whole deen will come into our lives. By the barakat of deen, when it comes into our lives, we will no more suffer this inferiority complex that we think other people, just because of the color of their skin, or just because they got some wrong education, this university education which is atheistic, secular, which denies the existence of Allah, denies religion, and we think them to be superior. How inferior haven't we made ourselves? But all that will go out and we'll realize the true position. Among the great sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one sunnat is the keeping of the beard. That is one great sunnat, and we mentioning it. So when we came to know that Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah Ali said that if a person keeps the beard, but even one hair is less than the, what is the required amount of the sunnat, then the guna is like not keeping a beard at all. So there are so many of us who are keeping the beard, but we are not keeping it correctly. And that sin is just like we are not keeping the beard at all. The same sin. So therefore, it is very important. Sunnat is a sign of beard is a great sign of the sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, of all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, ulama have written, some people, either in their stupidity, ignorance, or inferiority complex, they say that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sent as a Nabi in Europe, for example, then his dress code would be a suit and tie, a hat, na'uzu billah, and he would not have kept a beard. He would have been like those people. From here, the ulama, Allah reward them tremendously, they have explained Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's dress code, his deen, was not according to the Arabs also. It was what Allah had ordained for him. Even the beard, it was according to what Allah had ordained. His dress, his dressing also, was not the Arab dress. It was the dress which his forefather, which Allah ordained for him, of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And he wore that dressing. And it differed from the people, as it comes in the hadith. Badal al-Islamu ghariba. Islam came in a different, strange, different way. If it was just like the Arabs they were, then it shouldn't be that Islam came in a strange way. But it came in a different way, not as the Arabs of Makkah Sharif or the Arabs of Arabia were. No, not at all. It was a complete different. And the same Arab dress, the same Sunnah dress, when the Muslims went to Syria, which was a Christian country, when they went to Egypt, which was a Christian country, wherever they went, they went to Iran in the East China, they didn't adopt any way of life of any of those nations. It was the one sunnah, not the Arab way also, no Indian way, no Pakistani way. It is one way, not even of the Arabs, but of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the beard also is not that what we think, that because the Arabs used to keep beard, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam kept a beard. Not at all. It was what Allah had ordained for him. So anyway, the sunnah, our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi used to explain it very much in detail. How much Allah means for us, we will inshallah discuss. So our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi used to raise one great beautiful question, that everything of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the most beautiful. Sunnat ka tariqa, ajmal tariqa, it is the most beautiful way. But it is narrated that in Jannah, man will not have beard. They will be beardless in Jannah. So if it is beautiful, then it should be for the people, the man of Jannah also. And if it is not if it is not beautiful, it should not have been the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there seems to be a contradiction here. Hadrat explains this so beautifully, that in Jannat, the man of Jannat will enter into Jannat, abnai thalathin or thalatho wa thalathin. They will be at the age of 30 or 33. And that will be the age of maturity. At that age, they will enter Jannat. And in Jannat, a person won't grow older. He won't be 1 year 30, next year 31. There is no measurement of time. A person will remain one age all the time. And that is the age of maturity. Like in this world, a boy matures roughly at the age of 15. At that time, he doesn't have a beard. when he matures. The beard comes when he's about 17, 18, then few strands start coming. Somebody's grow faster, somebody's grow slower, somebody's even later. So in Jannat, you won't reach that age that of the beard coming out. You'll reach your mature, the height of maturity, and you'll remain at that height of maturity. And you will get your vigor, your strength will be at its height forever and ever. The time won't come. Had we grown older, then the beard should have come out. But a person won't grow older, so the beards won't come out in Jannah. So in Jannah, there won't be any beards. Jurdum, murdan, mukahaleen. A person will be without any beard also, and he will be without any stubs of the hair, and also mukahaleen, like surma is put in the eye. But without anyone putting surma for them, you won't have to put your own surma also. The ulama, Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi, explains kazibye fil ghaba, like the bugs in the jungles. They got natural surma in their eyes. Whenever you see they got surma, beautiful eyes they got, and nobody puts that surma for them. Like that the man of Jannat will be. So Hazrat also explains very beautifully that don't become an advanced Jannati. That here in this world you don't want to keep a beard. You become a Jannati on its time. When you will go there, then there will be no beard. Don't become an advanced Jannati, and in this world already you don't keep a beard. Also, people have, ulama, the doctors etc. have explained the connection of the nerves with one's sexual parts of his body. There is a connection. When a person shaves his beard, he weakens his sexual drive also. And by keeping a beard, a person's sexual drive also is much more stronger. So there is great, great benefit also. So anyway, this beard, when we keep it, the beard is very, very important that we keep it correctly. Where many people, even learned people, even pious people, who keep the beard, but just because we're not keeping it correctly, the guna is, though we've got a beard, we are counted amongst those people that don't have the beard. So one of the requirements of the beard, it must be a first length. And you measure your first from under your chin. Don't measure it from your lip already. Then it will be a very small beard. It must be from under the chin. And don't pull your beard also and measure it. Just normally take your beard and see. It must be one first length. That is the requirement. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he should go for Umrah, Hajj, then he should trim his beard. But he should take it, he should hold it, one first length. And what is extra, and keep a little bit extra also, for safety's sake. So it should be at least one first length. And it shouldn't be too long also. It should be one first length. And this one first length, it must be your own first. Don't call your two-year-old child and tell him, come, I want to check if my beard is a first length. And according to his first, you measure your beard. And it must be from all three sides. From the bottom also, and when you are trimming your beard, then take your hair like this and measure it. And what is more than a first, that is permissible to be cut. Not compulsory, it's permissible to be cut. So that we should try and then trim it from all three sides. The bottom also, and both sides also. Try and keep it to one first length. And then the other is the beard in Arabic, lahya. In Urdu, Dari. This is from Lahya, is the jaw, the lower jaw. If we open our mouth, you can feel your lower jaw. Wherever the lower jaw is, the beard must be on that part. So what is on the cheek is permissible to remove. Our Shaykh, in his beautiful way, he should say that trim your beard, remove the hair on the cheek, especially if you're a married person. If your wife wants to kiss you, then at least leave some landing space for her. If the whole place is grown up with all the trees and with all flowers and etc., where will she land her kiss? So at least remove that and leave some landing space for her. So on the chief, we can remove that. So what is, we open our mouth and then you can feel it. Another easy way, and that we can measure it, is from the sideburns. the front of the side burn to where the lips be, in a sort of a little circular that will give you also a clear indication which is part of the beard. What happens here, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, we trim the beard and we go lower and lower, then it becomes like an L shape. And all this part of here is also cut out. And we are happy I've got a beard, but your beard is not correct according to Sunnah. So this part here going down, and teen batachar, fari gulban. Teen batachar, three quarter. Fari gulban, no hair. Three quarter of your beard, there is no hair on that beard. Which is your jaw, which is where the beard is supposed to be kept, you have removed that. Some people keep a French beard, just a little bit beard here, or like an L shape. Some people keep an Arab beard. Arab beard is just on the chin here. The Arab beard, they keep it all the place that is required, but not a first length. They keep it just covering the place. And all these people are happy we are keeping beard. And they feel we are in Sunnah, but they are not in Sunnah. So therefore, it is important that we make sure that our Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, that let the beard grow, flow. That is one first length. And remove the moustache. The moustache should be removed. So regularly, once a week, whatever the time is, the most preferred is to remove the moustache completely. And it should not be shaved off with an electric shaver, which works on the principle of a scissor. Then to use that, it is in order. But to use a razor, manual razor, and to shave the moustache, that should not be done. And if a person wants to keep moustache, he is permitted. But with this proviso, that the whiteness of the upper lip must not be covered. The upper part of it, just above the lip, that little whiteness, that should not be covered by the moustache. On one occasion, Hazrat said, he explained this in Bombay, and one youngster told, and Hazrat explained, this is first division part, where you remove your moustache completely. And if you keep it, the second division part, but without the whiteness of the upper lip, that must not be covered. So one youngster told, I'm quite happy with the second division pass also. He said, I keep my moustache, but I don't let it cover the whiteness of my upper lip. So his father was present, and his father said, no, you are lying. When you got married, you were not happy with the second division girl, her beauty, her position, etc. You are not happy with second-hand furniture. You want everything of the best. So Hazrat says, when it comes to deen, why don't we want the best? In dunya, everything we want the best. And we'll cry and demand the best. But when it comes to deen, then Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, where you want your house to be the best, you want your garden to be the best, much more important to have your Quran Sharif the best. Your recitation of the Quran Sharif, all your deeny things, that is what a person must strive to have the best. So the beard, so the moustache should be removed, that is the best. And then the little baby beard, which is below the lower lip, that baby, and this is such a baby, it remains whole life a baby. It's a baby beard and it remains the whole life the baby. And it's got one habit like little babies, when we are eating little small children, they put, if the father got food in their mouth, they will put their fingers in the mouth and they want to take it out. That sweet, they want it. What you got in your mouth, they want. So this baby beard also has got a tendency to go up into the mouth. So now when your baby, your child puts his finger in your mouth, you don't bite its fingers off. So when this beard wants to come in your mouth, don't cut it off also. And this beard is very, very understanding also. Just with a little water or a little oil, it comes down on its place again. So it's not permitted to remove this baby beard also. It will remain a baby and it will have its baby tendencies also whole life. It will want to come in the mouth all the time. But we just, how little children, we just satisfy them, pacify them, and we make them understand. Like that, just pacify this little beard also. So So we should try and keep that beard, the baby beard also. And as far as Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say also, that the beard has got three rights. One is taghseel, wash the beard also. Regularly wash the beard also. The second is tadheen, put oil in the beard also. And the third is tashmeet, comb the beard also. Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, this is the sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So try and keep it neat and tidy also, a presentable way. And a beard has got great beauty in it also. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that one time, Mir Sahib, he had mashallah nice, very big beard, proper beard. So little children should get frightened. And here in South Africa, they should say Madala. Hey, like an old man, they should get frightened. So Hadrat should say they get frightened for Mir Sahib because he's got a proper full beard. And then the people should say also that is why we don't want to keep the beard. Children get frightened. So Hadrat should explain that without the beard, the little child thought, this is my mother, and he thinks I got two mothers. The real mother without a beard, and this is another mother again also without a beard. And a mother always shows kindness to her children. She's got a great soft spot for the children. But today, and for a father, naturally children have got that fear for the father. The father keeps control properly over his children. So now they saw that when the father comes with the beard, now they are frightened for him. This is a real father. Not the father who looks like a mother. And there are two mothers that the child has got. So, and that also, the control of the child and the upbringing in the correct way is absolutely essential. The love and kindness and softness of the mother and the strictness and the control of the father. Between the two, if there is only softness with the child will get spoiled. If there is only strictness and harshness, the child will also, it won't be mentally in a stable condition. So both things are absolutely necessary. So the father, with his identity, is necessary in the house also. And the mother, with her identity and with her characteristics, are also absolutely necessary for the children. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, let us practice on the sunnah and also try and make it known and spread it to other people. We should make a lot of shukr for those, there may be not so many people who were around in the 60s and 70s. Yeah, in South Africa particularly, we speak about generally in the world. Yeah, in South Africa, anyone who kept a beard, there were few people. And they should be known as Dhari, a person who got a beard, or Bharatman. This person, he's got a beard. Nobody else was keeping a beard. Allah give great rewards to our Tabligh Jamaat and to all the ulama who made effort in this direction and established and brought about the beard. Otherwise, many people, there were few families in those years that were identified with Deen. And anyone who had a topi or a beard, then it should be said he belongs to that family. And he's not a Muslim, he belongs to that family. That was the condition. But today, alhamdulillah, today how many of our youngsters have got beards also? Young people, and they are identified with the beard. And this is also one great feature of the Muslims. If you go to the airport now also, in all probability, you will see, you will identify the Muslims. There are a lot of Christians also, but they are not identified with their dress. Or the Jews, very few will be dressed like a Jew. And that also just a few things, that skull cap of this, skull cap, or a few things. Christians who are the monks, or rather the nuns, you can make them out. Though they are also changing, unfortunately, whatever their position is. They are also no more dressing like the nuns. Our family here from Australia explained to the family at home that they were Catholic, and now the Catholic, the nuns also, they also dressing now like men's dressing. Jeans, the pants, top and pants, etc. Otherwise, previously, they should wear their dress also. So anyway, but Muslims are those people. You will identify so many with beards, etc. And very sad that forget non-Muslims, how many Muslims make a joke and mockery out of the beard. And that is very, very serious matter. A person will lose his iman if he makes a joke about the smallest thing of deen. And the beard is a very big, major thing in our deen. And to make a joke about it and to ascribe it as anything, connect it with any animal or anything, and explain that person that he is like a goat or anything like that, it's a very, very dangerous thing for one's iman. A person can easily, with those things, lose his iman. So this is a great sunnah of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a great shi'ar of Islam, and that we all should try and keep the beard, keep it properly, the proper sunnah beard. And we usually say also that we offer a free service, because many persons, we don't realize our own beard if it's correct or not. So have it checked out. That is my beard, is it right? Does it conform to the sunnah, or is there some deficiency? It must not happen we land in our qabr and then there we find that we have got the sun and the guna of not keeping a beard, though we kept a beard. Those who did not keep, they know we did not have, and we are guilty of it. But those who kept a beard, but they did not have, they were not keeping it, that will be very, very sad. So Allah give us tawfiq, and all our matters. Some of our friends have written, MashaAllah, Allah accept everyone, the Ramzan, and what they explained, they benefited. Friends have written, like our namaz was not correct till today. How many of our ulama friends, and now we have become conscious that our salat, our namaz must be correct. Like that, every aspect of our deen also, we all have to be very conscious and try and correct it. And not just that we think we are Muslims, but that we must be real Muslims. Not just act like Muslims. And for example, from the TV stations, the Islam that comes there is an acting Islam. Then we will also become acting Muslims. From the radio, radio Islam, you won't get the true Islam, you'll get Islam radio. The Islam of a radio. Not the Islam which is the real Islam. So Allah Ta'ala let us, with our whole deen, every aspect it becomes correct and come in the right way, inshallah.